Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
His names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. First hour of the show, breaking down the initial set of college football playoff rankings, why I think the top four is absolutely perfect, and I expect Ohio State to complete an undefeated regular season and win a second consecutive national championship, not losing a game in the process. And when we get to the end of the year, I think we'll be talking about Ohio State as one of the best single-season college football teams ever. I think this is going to be one of the best college basketball seasons ever. Told you why at the end of hour number one. Broke down Lakers-Spurs coming up tonight. No LeBron James, no Austin Reeves. In my opinion, no problem for the Lakers against Victor Wembanyama and San Antonio. And as a Knicks fan, it pains me to say this, but yes, I do think the Chicago Bulls are pretty good. Femi and I will start rolling through side and total movement week 10 in the NFL 20 minutes from now. Chip Patterson of CBS Sports, host of the Cover 3 College Football Podcast, joins us in 40 minutes. But joining us right now, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, the great Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show Podcast, Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. What's up, buddy? Happy week 10.
You too, Nick. I'm actually looking at the college football rankings right now, and I see I'm calling the BYU-Texas Tech game on Saturday.
Yeah.
In Lubbock. I see where the Cougars are 7 and the Raiders are 8. So one of those two teams is going to climb because I like both teams a lot, but they're going to climb in these rankings. I don't know about your prediction of Ohio State going undefeated, certainly possible, but Texas A&M is awfully good. I mean, I'm going to see them on Thanksgiving weekend against Texas. We've got great games coming up is what I'm trying to get to here, Nick.
Have you gotten the chance, and like, if the answer is no, like no one's going to be upset because you watch so much NFL film. Have you gotten the chance to watch any of the Ohio State guys, like the wide receivers, Tate and Jeremiah Smith, like Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs, the quarterback saying?
Well,
just like, and
know,
obviously,
watched,
if the answer is no, all good, but wanted to ask.
No, but I watched Jeremiah Smith a great deal last year, you know, getting ready for the draft, Ibuka, all the guys that came out of Donovan Jackson, all the guys that came out. I watched a ton of Ohio State games, all the playoff games. So, you know, he looked like the best receiver on the field every week last year as a freshman. So, I haven't really studied them this year yet.
I feel like Jets fans, visions of Jeremiah Smith in the Jets uniform dancing through their head right now with the Jets with 3 first-round picks next year in the NFL draft.
What quarterback is going to throw him the ball? That's the question.
Well, I mean, you can make the – is it like Fernando Mendoza, Indiana's quarterback, Ty Simpson, Alabama's quarterback, or maybe they wait till 27. Have you heard – anyone's opinion on that? Do you have an opinion on that 26 quarterback class versus the 27 quarterback class? I know it's early.
Archie keeps getting better every week. You know, I mean, I know what people are saying, but he's not coming out. But I mean, if you're looking at 27, like, I can't wait to see him against A&M on Thanksgiving weekend. I saw him against OU, and he had a great game then, and he keeps getting better. Vanderbilt, great game. So I'm looking. When I watch him play, honestly, Nick, I know he just needs to play. So I don't want to make any evaluations, but you could see why you would be excited about his skill level.
What's his, like, when you watch Arch, do you have like a pro player comp for him right now?
Well, he's very fundamental. You know, I mean, Drake May is a very fundamental quarterback. He's probably faster than Drake. Drake is number one rated quarterback in this league. I'm going to see him Sunday against Tampa. So I'm going to see him against a team that's going to blitz him probably like crazy, although he's been good against the blitz this year. But, I mean, I would say just size, athletic ability kind of reminds you of a guy like Drake right now.
That's, I mean, that's pretty high praise for Arch Manning, especially with the way the season started for Arch. But it played great against Vanderbilt last week, and obviously two showcase games coming up, Georgia in a couple weeks, and then, like you said, A&M around Thanksgiving in the regular season finale. All right. Before we get to games this weekend, we got to get your opinion on the trade deadline and everything that happened yesterday. Let's start, Baldy. Your opinion of what the New York Jets did. Two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner, a two this year and a one next year for Quentin Williams, Mozzie Smith, and I love me some A.D. Mitchell. I think he's their second-best receiver immediately coming back from Indianapolis. Your thoughts on the Jets, both for the rest of this season and for the next couple years of Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji in this regime?
Well, I mean, look, I think they did the right thing. I mean, you can't argue against it. They've got to build this team. If you're going to hire these guys, you have to give them the opportunity to build it the way they want to build it. You know, I think Indiana, I talked to Lou Anarumo in Indianapolis last week. He was telling me about his cornerback situation. I was explaining to him the cornerback situation in this league. It's dreck around this league right now. And if you get a pigeon out there, teams are going after that guy. You just look at some of Dallas, look at the Giants, look what teams are doing to these corners. So I'd like to see Sauce play, honestly, Nick, on a team that can score points. And I like to see what he looks like against, you know, number one wide receivers that he's going to see when they can, like, Latu and DeForest Buckner, some of these guys can pin their ears back and he gets a chance to lock these guys up. I think there could be a resurgence in his ability, but the Jets did the right thing. I think they got as much value as you possibly could get. Mozzie Smith is just, you know, he hadn't shown anything yet, but maybe a change of scenery would be good. A.D. Mitchell's a very good player. He made just a complete knucklehead play against the Rams this year, and he kind of fell out of favor, but he wasn't starting. He wasn't playing a lot there. So he's going to get a good opportunity with the Jets. But, I mean, look, Nick, how many guys are 6'3", 205, can run a 4'3", 40, and has good hands? I mean, it's a good starting point.
Yeah, I'm a huge A.D. Mitchell fan. So I'm in the New York area, right? And I'm a Giants fan, not a Jets fan, but I have a lot of friends that are Jets fans. And I watch these games, not as closely as you do, but like I love the league, right? All the Jets fans I talk to, right? And I'm talking like passionate diehard that watch every second of every game, whether they're good or bad. They all hate Sauce Gardner. Not like personally, but they all think Sauce is overrated, doesn't make enough plays, and he doesn't have to be a great tackler. Like, that's not like what the Colts want from Sauce Gardner, right? But that he doesn't make enough game-changing plays, and that he's living off his rookie year and living off the nickname. Do you feel like Sauce Gardner is overrated? And where are you at on Sauce overall?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, he's got one interception in 3 years. He's got virtually no ball skills. I mean, I've seen him with the ball in his hands against against Dak in Dallas, and he can't come up with the ball. And he committed way too many penalties. For a guy that has that size and speed and has played in this league, what he's doing to receivers when he's grabbing them is just unnecessary. It's just not fundamental football. Play the game with your feet and your eyes, you know, and then play the ball in the air. So I do think that there's, you know, his rookie year, he was fantastic. I mean, he saved one touchdown after another. You go back up in Denver when they beat the Broncos. I mean, you go through the games in your head, and he looked like he was the second coming. And since that time, when he did have two interceptions, led the league in passes defense with 20, it has been downhill since.
This is You Better You Bet, Femi Befe, Nick Kostos, hanging out with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. What do you make of this for the Colts, though? So is this a bad trade that they traded for Sauce Gardner? Because they gave up a pretty penny, 2 first-round picks to acquire Sauce Gardner going all in. Is this a bad trade for Indianapolis, given the evaluation of Sauce?
I don't think so. I want to see him with Lou. I want to see him how Lou uses him. He's a great coordinator. And you can't do a lot if you don't have corners that can hold up. I think Sauce can hold up. I think this is going to be good. I think going up against, you know, Pittman and Pierce and some of those guys in practice is going to help them. Big receivers that know how to use their bodies, I think that's going to help them. And then he's going to be, for the first time in his whole life, he's going to be in the middle of a playoff run. And I think we're going to see the very – I think we'll, if whatever is good in him, whatever's great in him, I think we're going to see it come out of him. And so Lou has a good style. And if he's got corners, I mean, if you think about it, if he has Tre'Varius Ward, Kenny Moore, and Sauce Gardner on the corners across the board, like that's about as good as it gets. If you could pressure with Latu and DeForest Buckner and Pay and some of the guys, they have the linebacking core is really solid, and the offense is going to score points. So I like their ability to go make a run. And if I'm there right now, why not? It's been a long time since they've had any kind of a playoff run.
And it shows you, obviously, like Daniel Jones is going to be the, you don't trade 2 first-round picks like this without knowing that Daniel Jones is going to be your guy moving forward. Maybe he gets like right. The Baker Mayfield, the Sam Darnold deal coming up in the offseason. So, like, it's like 2 separate conversations. Like, did the Colts give up a ton for Sauce Gardner? Yes. But it doesn't mean that it can't work. So, I'll ask you this, Baldy, and this is kind of like, it's kind of put you on the spot a little bit here and give you the opportunity to change your mind as the season rolls on. The Indianapolis Colts, with the addition of Sauce Gardner, are the blank best team in the AFC.
Well, I mean, I think, look, Denver and Kansas City play next week. That's going to decide a lot. Right now, Denver has a 2-game lead over everybody. I think Baltimore is going to make a run. Their defense the last 3 weeks has been excellent. And now Lamar made throwing 4 touchdown passes look like he was at the state fair knocking down milk cartons the other day. They're going to be a factor. You know, Buffalo is certainly going to be a player in this whole thing. And, you know, New England is in the driver's seat right now. But we're going to see them against much better competition. We'll see just where they're at. But Indianapolis can play with any of the teams that I just mentioned.
Thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys moves yesterday?
Well, I mean, look, they're, you know, they added Kenny Clark in the Micah Parsons trade. They get Quinnen Williams at age 27. Been a proven good player. Jadeveon Clowney was the best player on the field on Monday night against Arizona. He looks like he's got a lot of football left in him. They added Logan Wilson, which was a needed piece. I mean, if they get some corners healthy, they should be better. Donovan Ezeraku is going to be a good player on the edge. That, you know, Sam Williams is okay. You know, they've got enough to at least keep the score under 30 and maybe
can they make
under
the playoffs? 3-5-1. Can the Cowboys make the playoffs?
I don't think so. The only thing I'd say is, like, they've had 2 disappointing offensive performances in a row. So that kind of like makes me back off. But I do know what the offense is capable of. So we know that the NFC North is going to beat up each other down the stretch. We saw Minnesota go to Detroit and win. Like, these teams are going to play each other, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Green Bay losing Tucker Kraft, they lose a lot. They've been up and down. So you lose at home to Cleveland and to Carolina like they did. You know, it's a bad sign. And Philadelphia's coming on Monday night. I feel like Dallas, if they get hot, which means, like, can they win 6 of their last 8, something like that, they could sneak in.
All right. That's a pretty listen, not saying you're wrong. Optimistic. For the Cowboys, I don't like what they should. Get back in the time machine and pay Micah Parsons like 18 months ago.
I would never, ever trade Micah Parsons. I wouldn't. Like, I would make something out of the trade.
It's ridiculous. It's insane that it happens.
The only guy like that in the whole league. It's just, you know, I was against it.
Final one for you here, about a minute for the answer.
Yeah.
What's your read on what's happening right now? Because it feels like there's a lot that's not being said with the Arizona Cardinals quarterback situation. And in case you missed it, because it happened like within the hour, Kyler Murray just got put on injured reserve by the Cardinals.
Well, Jacoby Brissett's a better player right now. He's a better player. The offense, I've watched him every week. In fact, I'm going on in Arizona here in 45 minutes. Like Marvin Harrison was invisible with Kyler. Like he actually got every ball thrown to him in the first quarter against Dallas. Now, if he explodes the way I think Marvin's capable of, he's a guy that can kind of turn it on, turn it off. But he turned it on the other night and looked pretty good. And you get Trey McBride, you get Wilson, and you get Jacoby with the play action passes and what Drew wants to do, that's Spetzig, you know, and I feel like they're going to be a problem, whether it's in Seattle this week, whether it's because defensively they're very good and very talented. And they showed that on Monday night. I think Jacoby's like, they don't want to say it because they're playing. He's a first pick and they pay him a lot of money, but Jacoby's a better fit for that offense right now.
Yes or no answer to this question. Has Kyler Murray played his last game for the Arizona Cardinals?
There's a lot of football to be played this year. We don't know Jacoby's health going forward. He could get back out there this year.
Let me ask a different question. We have like 5 seconds. But will Kyler Murray be on the Cardinals next year? Yes or no?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah, I agree. Baldy, you're the best. Safe travels. Yep. You got a lot of football coming up this weekend. Pretty awesome.
What's wrong with that, Nick? What's wrong? I mean, that's what life is about.
Not only is nothing wrong with it, everything's right.
That's right.
Brian Baldinger here with us on You Better You Bet. It moved. NFL Week 10 coming up next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For the win for the Broncos. And the kick is good. And the fourth quarter magic remains for Denver. 18-15, Denver with the winner.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Fox Sports, courtesy of the call, the Denver Broncos. By the way, I don't know if I like this, that like, Femi, you have an opinion on this? Like, here's an AFC game and Fox has it. It's happening a lot recently. Like, Giants-Niners was on CBS. Like, why are we doing that? I don't know if I like it.
It's been going on since 2011. I believe it is. I think the first ever game that they did it, the Crossflex. It was a Broncos at Vikings game on Fox. It was like the Tim Tebow, like Tebow mania Broncos. They were taking on the Vikings. And I think like the rationale is because of, I don't know, because like extra primetime games or what. I don't know what the hell the rationale is. I guess I'd be making something up. But yeah, it's been going on ever since 2011. And now it feels like it's ramping up even more.
I'm sure there's evidence like that states it one way or another. Anecdotally, it feels like it happens way more often than it used to.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I don't actually care, but it's just like weird. Here's Broncos Texans, and I'm like Fox on the call. Like the Fox has the NFC, CBS is the AFC.
Growing up, because like I was mid 90s was like my first football experience. So like NBC had the AFC game and Fox had the NFC game. Then obviously CBS got the rights back in 98, and CBS has always been the AFC squad. Like AFC road team, CBS is the game. NFC road team, Fox is the game. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like Fox is synonymous with the NFC. Like, let's call the NFC. And you're an NFC guy. I'm an NFC guy. Like, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. But
speaking of Cowboys and Fox Sports.
Eagles on CBS, I who knows?
Well, that they'll never let happen. Not Cowboys. But Broncos, Texans, I think it's CBS is okay with losing. You'd never see Bills, Chiefs, for instance, on Fox.
Yeah, on Fox. Yeah.
Speaking of Fox Sports and the NFL, Fox officially hiring Drew Brees to be their number three game analyst, which I thought was interesting. So Greg Olsen is the two, Tom Brady the one, and Drew Brees will be on the number three team. And it looks like he's going to replace Mark Sanchez, who was obviously involved in that like ridiculous story in Indianapolis, where honestly, like drinking is really stupid, especially on work events.
On a work trip. Yep.
on a work trip. Yep. I say this, and I say this as someone who's gotten irresponsibly drunk many times in my life. So I'm not judging people, but I think
judgment's passed by me. That's for sure.
Yeah. If I've done 100, and it's way more than this. If I've done 100 things in my life that I regret, 96 of them drunk, 4 sober, 0 stoned. When you get stoned, you just kind of like sit there. Nothing good or bad happens. You're just like in equilibrium. The vast majority of things I regret, I would say regrets. I've had a few, probably from getting too drunk. Certainly a regret for Mark Sanchez. And hopefully, jokes aside and everything else aside, like hopefully he gets to full health, because that's a scary situation. Yeah. All right.
100%.
Shall we do a little bit moved here?
Either that, I was going to ask you about who your favorite color commentator is currently in the NFL. I'll let you do dealer's choice on that one.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan, so it's Troy Aikman for me. You know, I mean, some people don't like him, but it's Troy Aikman. Yeah, it's kind of wild. Yeah.
He's awesome.
Like, I love him because I think he's going to give you his opinion. He's going to give you his real, and it might not line up with what everybody else thinks and what, like, the modern football and all that stuff think. But, like, yeah, I love Aikman. I like Collinsworth a lot, too. Like, I think Collinsworth's awesome. Like, and this is not to shade anybody else. Great. Like, I think everyone's been pretty good, but like, those are, like, my two favorites for sure.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth does a great job. Yep. We got a lot of great choices to choose from. All right. The reason why we played the Broncos highlight coming back is because they play tomorrow night and they host the Las Vegas Raiders. And that is where we will get. It's November. Sorry. There are going to be instances where your boy gets a little tongue tied. We've all, our eyes are seeping out of our skulls. We've been working a lot and we love it. Not a complaint. Just saying. Yep. Let's get to it here as our Week 10 NFL sojourn will begin in Denver.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved.
It's different. It doesn't. It's the same as it does every week. Thursday Night Football in the AFC West, Femi. The Denver Broncos welcoming in Geno Smith and the Las Vegas Raiders. What do we have here? Any injury news, side and total movement, etc. Thursday Night Football tomorrow night.
And what we have is the Femi Ebefe Mea Culpa Bowl. As I said, that the Broncos would famously be last place and the Raiders would make the playoffs. That's what we have on Thursday night.
I didn't want to bring it up.
I'm just—it's the elephant in the room. All right, I'm a big boy. We can handle it. I see you, Broncos country. No, I do not want to ride, but yes, I apologize. 9 is the point spread, and that's where we've been hanging out for much of the week. There were some 10s early on, and those immediately got bet. So I think we're just going to hang out here outside of teaser range. 9, 9.5 is where we're going to do this dance all the way up till kickoff tomorrow. In terms of the total, that's been bet up a little bit, 42 to 43. Obviously, like the big news with the Raiders trading Jacoby Myers to the Jacksonville Jaguars. For Denver, from an injury standpoint, they just ruled out Marvin Mims, their wide receiver. So he's going to miss the game dealing with a concussion. And of course, Patrick Surtain II, not expected to play because he has a multi-week pec injury. So that's the injury news. The side, I lean towards the Raiders, but I'm also the guy that thought the Raiders were going to make the playoffs this year. But I do think the number's a little bit big, so I would never bet the Broncos. It would only be a small bet on the Raiders just to sweat the game.
Yeah, I think my thought early week was Raiders if I had to bet it, and I still think that may be the bet I place, but nothing for me right now. We'll obviously do a lot on this game tomorrow and finalize all the bets. All right. Let's move, Femi, and it was funny because you said, what's the spread of the game? The Broncos are favored by how many points?
9.
Yes, you did the 9. Speaking of 9, we head to Munich for the NFL international game. Is Daniel Jones, Sauce Gardner, Sauce Gardner going to play in this game? Probably not, right? But feels like maybe.
Might play. Yeah.
As the Colts take on Michael Penix Jr., and the Atlanta Falcons. I would say Parker Romo, but they cut his ass, thankfully, since he cost me money last week. Colts v. Falcons in Germany. Where do we stand side and total?
We have seen a lot of movement towards the Indianapolis Colts. It's been a big Colts week. The Colts have been active at the trade deadline acquiring Sauce Gardner from the New York Jets. This was around 5.5 earlier in the week. We are now to 6.5 with the Indianapolis Colts as the favorite on a neutral site. 48.5 is where our total's been hanging out. No movement there, but Sauce Gardner, the big news with this game. But there's also injury news. Sauce Gardner is part of the injury news, by the way. He's in the concussion protocol, practiced in full today. The expectation, the reports coming out of Indy, are that he should be good to go on Sunday. So all indications are we're going to get Sauce Gardner out there on Sunday, despite being in concussion protocol currently. But a lot of injury news. Kenny Moore, DNP today. DeForest Buckner, DNP, I'm guessing those guys are going to be able to go for the Indianapolis defense. On Atlanta's side, the old line is what's banged up. Both of their starting guards left the loss to the Patriots early. Matthew Bergeron, Chris Lindstrom, they're dealing with an ankle and a foot injury, respectively. They're both DNP today. Leonard Floyd, their pass rusher, also a DNP. But Billy Bowman Jr., the rookie, he practiced in full as he's been dealing with a hamstring injury. So a lot of injury news with this game. For me, at 6.5, I like the Falcons. I think the Falcons, they're kind of like your Cardinals, like they keep the game close. I think that's what the Atlanta Falcons are. I think they can keep this game close and cover 6.5. So I'll be betting Atlanta, but let's just make sure the injury report is not a disaster by the time we get to Friday.
If I bet the Falcons, I'll just bet the Falcons to win the game, and we'll see how that goes on Sunday against Indianapolis. All right, Bills and the Dolphins, Femi, on Sunday in Miami.
Yeah, this one right now is all Buffalo. We are out to 9.5 with this game. This was 8.5 earlier. Now 9.5. We might hit 10 at this point. At 10, I mean, I might have bet Miami if it ever got to 10. But we're currently 9.5. The total's been bet to the under 50.5, now down to 49.5. The big news with this one was James Cook earlier this afternoon. He did not practice, dealing with a foot and ankle injury. My guess is that's just precautionary, but let's see what happens on Thursday and Friday. Josh Palmer back at practice in limited fashion today. Daquan Jones, Joey Bosa, two of their defensive linemen, DNP today. I'm guessing that might be some veteran rest there, especially with Joey Bosa. But Daquan Jones missed the past couple of games. Not a good sign for him playing on Sunday that he's already missing here on this Wednesday. Taron Johnson as well in the secondary for the Bills, a DNP today. And for the Dolphins, Chop Robinson, he's alongside Bradley Chubb as their best edge rusher since they traded Jalen Phillips. He's still in the concussion protocol. And then Rasul Douglas is a DNP. No big betting opinion here for me unless it got to 10. And I'd take a small bet on the Miami Dolphins.
I may lay Buffalo. I think it's never Miami for me. Maybe. I mean, I honestly, I don't even think I'd take 10 with the Miami Dolphins here. I don't think so. I may lay Buffalo. All right. From the AFC East, Femi, to the NFC South, as the 5-4 Carolina Panthers host Tyler Shuck and the 1-8 New Orleans Saints, who just dealt Rashid Shaheed to the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no real injury news with this game. Talese Fuaga, the offensive tackle for the Saints, he's listed as week to week, so he's not going to be playing in this game. But in terms of the side, it's been a lot of Carolina money. This was 4.5. Now we're out to 5.5 with this game. The total's been bet to the under, down to 39.5. Let's see if this keeps going up. Like, if we get a 6, I'm betting New Orleans. Even at 5.5, I have interest in New Orleans. I will have a Saints ticket in pocket on Sunday. Nothing to do with the total, but I like New Orleans. This to me feels like a nice sell high spot after Carolina won outright as a 13-point dog.
Yeah, I think the Saints might be really, 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 really bad. Are we going to be able, Femi, to hit them with the Rico on Sunday?
No, we're not hitting them with the Rico. I think the Saints keep this close. We're not hitting them like Rico Daddle's not running over anybody. I think this is a competitive game. So I'm not hitting them with the Rico. And also Rico also is popped up on the injury report as well, too.
That's why I'm at. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Rico Dowdle tweeted, apparently he's going to play. Like Rico tweeted, starting a GoFundMe, they got me. Yeah, like he should be good to go. I think it's like a rest day for Rico Dowdle for the Carolina Panthers. CJ Stroud, Femi, ruled out for the Houston Texans for Sunday's game against Jacoby Myers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. How has the betting market reacted? Where do we stand right now? And it's like almost like season over for the Texans if they lose this game.
Yeah.
Already lost to Jacksonville earlier this year. 5-3 Jacksonville at 3-5 Houston.
Yeah, this is it was Houston at 1 at open on Sunday when there was uncertainty about Stroud. DeMeco Ryans cleared that up earlier this afternoon, ruling him out. So we have flipped favorites Jacksonville is now a one-point favorite. The total has been getting pounded to the under. 39.5, now down to 37.5. So this thing is not expected to be a high-scoring game. And when you look at the injury report, you understand why. On Houston, it's C.J. Stroud. Tytus Howard, their offensive tackle, he's banged up, didn't practice today. He's also in the concussion protocol. Some injuries on defense, but I think those guys might be resting. Want to get some clarification there. But for Jacksonville, Brian Thomas Jr., DNP today. Hunter Long, their tight end, which usually wouldn't bring this up, but Brent Strange is already hurt. So they're going to be on tight end three potentially. He was DNP today. Ezra Cleveland on the offensive line didn't practice either. I didn't see anything on Devin Lloyd. I'm assuming he was back at practice because he wasn't listed amongst the guys who are hurt. But if that's back at practice, that's a good sign for Jacksonville. No strong betting opinion for me. If this ever got bet out to like Jags 2.5, I would maybe bet some Houston money line, but it still feels like a coin flip game to me, which probably doesn't speak too well about where the Jacksonville Jaguars sit right now.
Oh man, this should be a game where I bet Jacksonville, given like my preseason thoughts on the Jaguars, my preseason thoughts on the Texans, no CJ Stroud. I think the Jaguars are bad. I need to think about this one a little bit. We do have some side move, Femi, in the Bears-Giants game. What's happening here is Bill Zimmerman and Jake Hassan's Bears take on my New York football Giants.
The Chicago Bears are getting bet, and I agree with this. Now, I didn't lay the 3.5 because I was wondering, would we ever get to 3 or are we going to just hang out here at 3.5? But the 3.5s no longer exist. It's now 4.5. Across the board, everyone is liking the Chicago Bears. In terms of the total, a little bit of money coming on the under, 48.5, now down to 47. Good news for the Chicago Bears from an injury standpoint. DeAndre Swift, he's back at practice. Good to see that. For the Giants, it's a pretty brutal injury report. Like injuries along the offensive line. John Michael Schmitz, I know your guy, he's DNP once again. Jermaine Illuminor, DNP. And then in the secondary, you do get a couple guys back. Javon Holland, Cordell Flott, limited in practice, but Paulson Adebo did not practice today. So betting interest in Chicago, I've liked Chicago since Monday. Haven't bet it yet, but I will bet it as long as it stays in this range prior to kickoff.
I think the Bears defense stinks. I might bet the Giants in this game if this number continues to get bet out. Love a side in this game. Yeah, at 47 now. I think the Ravens are going to kill the Vikings on Sunday. Where do we stand, Femi? Baltimore at Minnesota in the Battle of Purple.
Yeah, we're still at Baltimore more than a field goal on the road at a pretty tough environment in Minneapolis there. This was 3.5 at open. Now it's 4. So movement on the Ravens. The total has been bet to the over, 47. Now we're 49, touching a key-ish number with totals. From an injury standpoint, for the Ravens for the first time, nothing to report. And for Minnesota, bad news is that Aaron Jones DNP today, but I think he should be okay, but dealing with a shoulder and a toe injury. So for me, it's Ravens or pass. I might just pass the game because I think the betting market's just right.
Oh, I think you should join me on the Baltimore Ravens here.
Let's see another game from this defense before I dive in too much.
Yeah, I love the Ravens on Sunday. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get back to it and move to start the Power Hour. But on the other side, we're going to be talking college football with one of the best in the business, the host of the Cover 3 podcast for CBS Sports, my friend, the great Chip Patterson, coming up next on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Saying over the middle.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Does Gus Johnson do it on purpose? Like, can he do that on command? Like, yes, right?
100%.
Nothing will, unfortunately for Gus, or fortunately, I don't know, nothing will ever top Jack Sawyer, the hero from last year. Like, nothing will ever top that in Ohio State, Michigan. The Jeremiah Smith voice crack is pretty good there, but Jack Sawyer, the hero. Captain Jack is the all-time best. The great Chip Patterson will join us in just a moment from the Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports. In my opinion, the best college football podcast out there. Chip will join us in just a moment to talk about Ohio State and the rest of the college football playoff rankings. But first, we need to remind you, our listeners and viewers, that today's NBA Odds Boost token belongs in your starting five. I don't write this stuff, I just read it. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning NBA bet. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. And don't forget to download and subscribe to the show in podcast form. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Also check us out on YouTube and Twitch. Without further ado, joining us now, one of my absolute favorites in the industry, period. He is the host of the Cover 3 podcast, which is sensational, featuring Danny Cannell, Bud Elliott, Tom Fornelli, friends of the show to varying degrees. If you're a college football fan, chances are you're aware of the existence of the show. I'm guessing you probably listen to it or watch it on YouTube. You need to be if you are not. Chip is driving the bus, and he's talented, and he's a great dude. On Twitter at Chip_Patterson, CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ as well. My friend, welcome to the show. What's going on?
It is great to be back with you. You know, good, much awaited return to the show for me. I'm getting a little misty. Too kind, those words that you had, but we've been friends for a long time, so it's I send them right back at you. We started at the bottom. Now we're here.
It's pretty, yes, like Drake.
Yeah.
And I was saying during the break that Chip and I used to go in on, we need to do it next year, go in on a college football win total. And my favorite of all time, because I loved Jared Goff at Cal. Goff's final year at Cal, we bet the California Golden Bears over and they went over. And like, I, for some reason, I like never forget that. I always really enjoyed that. All right. Let's talk about the initial set, Chip, of college football playoff rankings. Give us the one thing that you love or the one thing that's made you really mad, both sides of the same coin coming out of the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, I think I love that they didn't overthink it with the number one team in the country. You know, I felt like there was some conversation going into the evening where will they do Indiana? Well, Indiana's got this win at Oregon, and what does Ohio State have? You were twisting yourself in pretzels. To me, Ohio State is who I fill out as number one in the country. I was hoping that the selection committee members would all come to that agreement as well. So I love they didn't try to get cute just to generate rankings. And all of a sudden we've got a switch on all of our stories on CBSSports.com everywhere where it said, you know, number one, Ohio State now has to say number two just because the CFP selection committee decides they're going to get cute. I love that. I do hate the inconsistency generally of throwing the Miami Hurricanes all the way down at 18. I think that it sends messages that week one doesn't matter versus what's happening lately. And that's okay. It's a selection committee. It's a human process. But the way that the selection committee chair, Mac Rhodes, talked about it after the fact basically came out to like, I don't know if you've seen them. They look like cheeks recently, which is fair. You know, like they don't look good. We saw Miami at the beginning of the season. And everyone said, wow, like look at all that talent. Look at the lines of scrimmage. And Carson Beck is slinging it. And now Carson Beck has regressed. He started to turn the ball over. And they've had a couple flat performances reminiscent of other Miami years past. And now you're like, yeah, there's no way that team is close to the top 10. But if we were using the Notre Dame win as any kind of value, they should have been higher than where they are.
Yeah, I love this debate. Started the show talking about it. I have no issue with it just because I agree with what Mac Rhodes said, right? Like, they've been terrible recently.
Yeah.
And I know Miami beat Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's way better than Miami. So, and I felt that after the game ended when Miami won that game against Notre Dame. I'm marinating, my friends, on a couple sizzlers, sizzling hot takes. I'd like to run them by you and see what you think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna hit you with both of them at the same time, at the same damn time, as some would say. Numero uno, Ohio State is going to run the table, go back to back, and we will talk about the Buckeyes as one of the best single season teams in college football history. That is hot take number one.
Okay.
Sizzler numero dos. Last year, we saw all four of the top seeds lose in their first college football playoff game in the second round. I think this is going to be a chalky college football playoff with the teams in the top four. And I think it might be these four teams at the end, all in the top four when it's all said and done. Also, I think it's going to be a chalky playoff as we get towards the end. All right. Am I crazy with these thoughts? Lay it on us.
Yeah. Number one, let's start at the playoff piece, because to me, we automatically cannot compare this year to last year because of the change in seeding. Like, it disrupted all the first round matchups. It disrupted then, because the first round matchups were a little bit off, it disrupted the balance of the quarterfinals. And we're like, why do we have all these quarterfinals that have these insane spreads? Well, if we had seeded this thing properly, rather than giving the fast pass to the third and the fourth conference champion, I think we would have had more competitive balance to the bracket as a whole. So immediately, just by going to a straight seeding model, I think that we are going to fix some of that. It could be chalky. It definitely could. It will also be a test of attrition, because you talk about these four teams. What if these teams also are all playing in the conference championship game against each other? Then they're playing in the quarterfinals against a team that was not on their caliber all year, but you make the college football playoff, you're daggum talented. It will be a real test of depth. It'll be a real test of, like, injury luck. Those teams that play on conference championship Saturday, I think, are going to get beneficial treatment from the committee. Like, we're not going to knock the loser for making it to Atlanta and all of a sudden sliding behind someone who got to sit at home and watching a Snuggie. Like, no, I think that the committee is going to, like, in order to keep conference championships alive, I think the committee is motivated to not over-penalize whoever's the runner-up there. So, yeah, I think the Big Ten and the SEC championship game probably feature the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds ultimately in the tournament. And they will be awesome teams. But they are also going to have a little bit of a different scenario with the way the competitively the bracket is set now that we've gone to straight seeding.
What about Ohio State? Just a thought on Ohio State quickly, Chip.
Oh, about Ohio State? Yeah, I think that is this team for Ohio State better than last year's Ohio State? It's a super fun debate for college football fans to have right now. I think that Ohio State in the playoff and Ohio State in the regular season were different teams. Right now in the regular season, the 25 Buckeyes look better than 24. But the reason why Ohio State won the national championship is the way that they leveled up and the different ways that they won each of those games. Like, Oregon as a bludgeoning, Texas as a low-scoring grinder. Like, they won different ways all along the way. So the playoff Buckeyes were different than the regular season Buckeyes. But if you want to say 25 regular season Buckeyes better than 24 regular season, I'll take that. What happens after that? Man, playoffs tough. We'll see.
Chip, I think conventional wisdom is that, like, we're going to get at least three Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Indiana, probably Oregon, I think most college football fans would say. If there's a fourth team, because I think we're going to get a fourth one, amongst USC, Iowa, Michigan, and Washington, who do you think that fourth team is and why?
Here's the thing. I don't think it'll be four teams, because for any of those other teams, which I think all have an equal chance, part of that argument is them beating Oregon. You know, like, if it's going to be Iowa, if it's going to be Washington, if it's going to be USC, all of the paths for those teams being able to finish with the playoff-worthy resume include beating Oregon. And I guess you could say that Oregon's got a little bit of wiggle room, but do they? The committee already slotted them lower than they are in the AP poll. So I just wonder if one of those teams does end up emerging from the bunch, if they don't clip Oregon and replace them. That's where I think the Big Ten might be locked into three. Mm. The question is, who is the third? Can the Ducks defend that spot? Because if they do, they're beating all those other teams.
Let's talk about this Saturday's games, Chip. And obviously, we have a bunch of huge, like Oregon against Iowa, Bama against an LSU team that might be putting forth a better effort than we've seen in a while, with Brian Kelly now out of town, obviously. You know, Indiana against Penn State. Like, a lot of teams at the top of the rankings are playing this week. Any chance we see some chicanery, some upsets? How do you see this weekend playing out, and anything you like as far as against the spread this weekend in college football?
Yeah, I hate how many favorites I like this week. If we want to look for potential chaos, Mississippi State, you know, they've got Georgia in a spot. Coming out of the cocktail party with Texas on deck, that's the spot of all spots. And Starkville, Mississippi is a spot of all spots. They almost nipped Texas. Could they be the ones? Early start time. Georgia is a famously slow starting team. 4 wins this season when tied or trailing at halftime. You know, we'll see. Eyes there. If you wanted to grab a little Mississippi State first half at 3.5 or 4.5, don't hate that. If you want to play a little you know, Mississippi State first half, Georgia full game. Ooh, if you want to get in on a little Georgia third quarter, because Kirby's halftime adjustments are absolute nails, I love all of that. Let's string together a treasure map for the first kickoff of the day, Georgia at Mississippi State. I think in general, we're not going to see too much chaos. Interesting thing about Penn State playing host to Indiana. Boys, do you know how many timeouts interim coach Terry Smith called against Ohio State?
Took it, multiply it by a million. What's the number?
It's still zero. You know, I mean, it's just like Terry Smith went to the locker room at halftime with three timeouts in his pocket, went to the locker room at the end of the game with three timeouts in his pocket. Boys, I think Penn State is in we're just here so we don't get fined. You know, like they're just like, they are fulfilling the contractual obligations that they have to Penn State University. Everybody, top to bottom. We are not worried. We are not slowing things down. I just don't think that they're going to be the squad to take down Indiana. Could be wrong. Could be famous last words. But if you want to look at something that I am starting to circle, one of my favorite plays of the entire day.
We have 30 seconds for this.
Okay. What favorite play of the entire day? Notre Dame Navy over. Navy's defense doesn't tackle a single team. Like squads like FAU and Temple just bowled over Navy's defense. What do you think Notre Dame's going to do? And Notre Dame defensive coordinator Chris Ash hasn't had to put together the Navy prep yet. Hired him from outside the program. So, you know, first time going through putting in the option defense after otherwise facing other kinds of offenses.
You need to check out the Cover 3 podcast hosted by Chip Patterson. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network also. Chip's on Twitter at Chip_Patterson. CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ as well. My friend, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll do this again down the road.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Chip Patterson joining us here on You Bet. Here's my homage to Chip Patterson. We'll get back to It Moved in the National Football League next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.